top again. This morning. Amen. I pray that's your heart's desire. Amen. Let's lift him up with all of our hearts. Amen. Sing that song with me. In Christ alone do I glory.
In Christ alone do I glory. Though I could pride myself in battles won, for I've been blessed beyond measure. Strength alone I overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hands, but those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. glory. For only by His grace I am redeemed, and only His. Reach beyond my weakness to my need. Now I seek no greater honor than just to know Him more.
Think about it now.
And to count my gains and losses through the glory of my Lord and Christ alone. Yes. Oh, and find my of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of in every well, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. Sing again. I place my trust, find my glory in the power of the cross. Oh, in every victory, let it be said. My source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. Hallelujah. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great is our God.
Again, how great,
and how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great. How great is our God.
First verse, sing it with me.
Oh, the splendor of a king, clothed with majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. Oh, He wraps Himself in light. Oh, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at His voice, trembles at His voice. How great is our God. How great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great. Oh, how great is our God. And age to age He stands. Oh, and time is in beginning and the end, beginning and the end. Well, the bride and Christ are one.
Sing it, church.
And uniting time has come. Soon we're going home. Glory. Soon we're going home. Hey, how great is our God. Oh, sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing it again. Name above all names. Oh, glory. You are worthy. Oh, and my heart will sing how great our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great, how great is our God. Last time, just soft, no music. And how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great, how great is our God. Praise Him, church. Lift Him up. Give Him glory. Hallelujah. Sister Becky, you were playing that song earlier. Lord, I give You my heart. Give You my soul. We fall down. Let's sing this song. I give You my heart. I give You my soul. Let's sing that together. Just before we take our prayer requests to the Lord. Oh, Lord, I give You my heart. I give You my soul, and I live for You alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have Your way in me. Oh. And this is my desire to honor You. And Lord, with all my heart, I worship You. And all I have your heart. Yes. Oh Lord, I give You my heart. Oh, I give You my soul. Yes. I live for You, Lord. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have my soul, and I live for You, Lord. Every breath that
has his way in our life. Hallelujah. You can play that softly, musicians. We're going to take these needs to the Lord. Bring these to everyone's awareness. Amen. These needs are special in the sight of God. Amen. The needs of his people. Certainly remembering Brother Keith, not with us today. Been in our prayers for a long time. Our brother's been fighting a long battle. And our hearts are with him. Our prayers are with him. And we're believing God's going to have a good outcome for Brother Keith. Amen. Trusting for complete and total healing of his body. That's my prayer. Amen. If you'd remember Sister Naomi Makati, she's dealing with the flu, not with us today. The Florians also not with us. Sister Caitlin and Brother Danny had a pipe burst at their home. I know that feeling, so I know exactly what they're going through. I'm praying for them. She also has a unspoken prayer request, Sister Caitlin Florian, if you'd remember that in prayer. Reynolds are not with us today. I don't see them here, so keep them in your prayers. Always praying for the Drum family and also the Hughes in our prayers. And Sister Grace Johnson, amen. Want to remember her in prayer. She's been gone for a long time. We certainly miss her. Praying for her well-being. If you would also remember Sister Tina Knobloch in your prayers, all that she's been going through, and also Sister Carrie with what she's been going through. So we're going to keep them in prayer. My wife and the kids, my wife took the kids home. We were planning to be in service today, but just coughing, runny noses, and it's just been really tough for her. We had a really tough morning, and so if you'd remember her in prayer, she's just having a tough one today. And my heart is with her, and praying that she receives a blessing for just being the wonderful mother and wife that she is. She's such a blessing to me, and I miss her right now. So if you'd pray for her. That's all I have. We're just going to go right to the Lord in prayer, and let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, you're such a good, good Father to us. Lord, your mercies are new every single morning. Lord, in this moment, I feel your presence just falling upon us, Lord, and as we praise and worship you with all of our hearts and our voices lifted up, for that's what you gave us our voices for, Lord, was to give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, God. And in this moment, Lord, with hearts tender, and Lord, the spirit's right, and we come into your presence, Lord, just humble before you, God, knowing that you are the great creator, Lord, and we are just the clay upon this earth, and you are molding us in your image, dear God. Lord, there are needs among us, Lord, many needs, God. Lord, I've read this long prayer request, Lord, and each and every one of these needs, God, you knew them before I spoke them from my mouth, Lord. You knew them before the problem was ever a problem, Lord. Lord, and you had the answer, God. You have the healing, Lord. You have the solution, Lord. You are the solution, and that's why we turn to you, oh God. And I pray that you would come down right now and you would calm every nerve. You would chase away every demon. You would chase away every sickness, every disease, every virus that is attacking our families, attacking our assembly. I rebuke this demon from hell and these spirits that trouble the people of God. Lord, we are bound for the promised land, Lord. We have the promises in your scripture that by your stripes we're healed. And we claim those promises in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for each and every situation mentioned here, Lord God. May your Holy Spirit just go to each one, Lord, as you see fit, Lord. In your time and your way, I know that you make all things beautiful, God. And I know that you have a plan and a purpose for every individual, Lord. Lord, make it real, make it known to us, God. Lord, speak to our hearts, I pray, Lord. I pray that you would just move upon the pastor as he's no doubt studied and labored to find your thought, your channel, God. Lord, may he just be able to just come in, Lord, as we till the soil of the hearts today, Lord, that he could just come right behind as a farmer would plant the seed, Lord, that seed being your word, Lord. Let it be dropped upon our hearts, Lord, and may your spirit, just your anointing come and create the atmosphere it could grow, Father. Lord, how we need you, Lord. Lord, how we just long to be close to you. As the song said, I just want to be where you are, God. I'm so tired of this world, Lord, and the troubles and the toils in this life, Father. Lord, it just weighs upon my spirit every day and things I see and the things I hear and the filthiness and the provocative things this world tries to place in front of my eyes, God. I pray, Lord, that you would just Lord, guard the hearts and minds and the eyes and the ears and the hands and the feet, Lord, of your people, Lord. Lord, as your scripture says, the footsteps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. God, I pray that every person's footsteps shall be ordered, Lord, and they're in your perfect will, Lord. Lord, let us not be found in your permissive, Lord, knowing that it could be worked for your good, God. But I pray, Lord, that we would be in your perfect will, Lord. Let your perfect will be done today. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. You may have your seats. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you just continue playing that for just a moment, Sister Becky. Well, let's just jump on to that song, We Fall Down. That'll be fine, yeah. We fall down and we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. Oh, the greatness of his mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb. Would you sing it again with me, church? Let's just worship for a while. His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 we cry.
Where you are, oh,
I just want to be with you. Oh, I want to be where you are. Oh, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory. In your presence, Lord, that's where I always want to be. I just want to be. I just want to be with you.
Let's sing it again.
Well, I just want to be where you.
Do you want to be with him, church?
Dwelling daily in your presence. Oh, I don't want to worship from afar. Oh, no. Draw me near to where you are. And I just want to be. Where you are in your dwelling place forever. Oh, take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. Oh, I want to. Dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory. In your presence, Lord, that's where I always want. I just want to be. I just want to be with you.
Amen. What a beautiful song. One of my favorites. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Deacons, please come forward. We're going to take up our morning offering. Please just give as unto the Lord and continue that worship in your tithing. Man, what's due to God, it all belongs to Him anyways, amen. Hallelujah. Brother Ethan, would you like to lead us in prayer?
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time. Together, Lord, we just ask that you step down into this service, Lord, and speak to every heart. Lord, just speak to the needs, Lord, is here. We just ask that you bless this offering. Let it fill out your kingdom. Ask in Jesus' name.
Let's sing again. Blessed be as a pastor comes.
Amen.
Sing it, church.
Blessed be your name. Blessed be. Blessed be. Blessed be.
Again, sing that again.
To your name. Christ in me.
Oh, I'll sing it again now.
Your name.
Let's just worship
let
him this morning.
Your people proclaim you are holy.
Everyone, welcome to the house of the Lord, and it is an honor to be among you this morning, and I trust you feel like it's an honor to be in the presence of the King. Amen. And so we are glad for all of you being here today, and may the Lord richly bless you in the house of the Lord. Now, just a couple of very quick things here. Good to have Sister Rachel Pritchard with us this morning. God bless you. Good to have you here. I want to sing another little chorus here, and I want to go back to the one you sang in the song service, In Christ Alone. And so let's sing that together this morning. And I'm just going to invite you this morning. We have this, I always tell the people who are in the sound booth back there that we want to get it right. You know, sound people want to get it right, and we want to get it right because we only have one opportunity at this service. There's only one opportunity. We'll never be able to duplicate it. We'll never be able to do it again. We'll never be able to repeat it at all. So we've got to capture it, capture the moment. We've got to seize the moment. And so over the last month or so, we've had some interruptions in service and had weather issues and so forth. But as far as today, we want to, every one of you, we want to enter in. And we want to seize the moment. We want to capture what God has for us. Because I believe in every service, He has something to say to us.
Amen.
So I'm going to invite you just to shake off the shackles. And let's just enter in. At the end of service today, we're going to have special prayer for someone in the church who has a need. And it's a need that we want to bring before the Lord. And we're going to do it together. We're all going to do it. We're all going to pray. And so I want you to think about the things that you have need of as well so that we can bring all of these requests before Him. But I don't want you just to say, well, it's just another service and, you know, Brother Barry's going to speak fast because it's, you know, Super Sunday and we got to get out of here. I don't, just for the, some of you nodded your head at that. We just want to let all of that go now. All right? Do that with me. Let's let it all go and let's put aside every hindrance and everything that you forgot to do and everything that you maybe need to remember for tomorrow, because you're not going to be able to change much when you're sitting here. And Satan would love to distract you and get your mind on other things. And so if you'd enter in with me, I know the Holy Spirit would be pleased with that. So will you do that this morning? Let's sing it now. Sing it from your heart. In Christ alone will I glory.
I can pride myself in battles won, for I've been blessed beyond measure, and by His strength alone I've overcome. And though I could stop and count successes, like diamonds in my hand, but those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone, I place my trust and find my
Amen. Take your Bible this morning. Let's go to the Galatians, the fifth chapter. Thank you, musician. Galatians chapter 5. Great to have the Buckles family here today and all the members, all the parts. Great to have them all here today. Great to see all of you again, Jer. Great to have all of you with us today. May the Lord richly bless you, is our prayer. I believe that if you tried, you could probably still sign up for our dinner on February 28th. I believe. If you haven't, you need to do it today, because after today, the gate is closed. I apologize for having to have an RSVP, you know, for a sign up. But when we have a caterer, they want to be prepared. They don't want to be short, and we don't want to be having too much. And so it is what it is. And we would invite you to sign up if you're planning to come. We're going to have that weekend set aside. It's going to be the banquet on Saturday night. And then on Sunday morning, Brother Paul LaFontaine is going to minister for us. And Sunday evening, Brother Jason Watkins is going to minister for us. So it'll be a special weekend, and we're just looking forward to that time. So you want to be a part of that for sure. All right, Galatians, the fifth chapter. Now, Paul opens up this chapter speaking of the subject of liberty and how Christ has set us free. In verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And as we have discussed before, liberty is not the freedom to do what you want. It is the fact that Christ has set you free to become what he ordained you to become. He predestinated you to be something, and you couldn't be that without him dying on Calvary's cross and you accepting that sacrifice. So now you're free. But you're free now to become something. And that freedom is all important here. And he talks about this down in verse 16. Then this I say then, to walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the Spirit, and these are contrary. These are against one another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now, hold on. You've already been set free, but now Paul is making sure that we don't misuse the principle of liberty, because if you walk according to the flesh, you can be bound again. You can actually be a son of God or a daughter of God and be bound again. That's what he's saying. Because these two are contrary one to the other, and you can find yourself out of sync with the Holy Spirit, and you can be trapped in something. It doesn't mean that you lose eternal life, but it means that you can be trapped in something you didn't intend to be trapped in, and now you need deliverance for that. So drop down, if you will, to verse 25. And if ye live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. May the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated. Forgive me if I've repeated this a little bit, but we've been off schedule. Brother Troy and Sister Shirley Lingle had birthdays on February 2nd. February 3rd, Macy Stevens, right? Are we allowed to ask how old you are?
14.
David, he knows what that means. February 4th is Brother Tom and Sister Kim's anniversary. How many years?
59.
Brother Tom and Sister Kim are clearly in the lead, and they are truly a blessing to us. And we appreciate you both very much for all you do and all you do that people don't know. And you're a great example, and you're special to us. And may the Lord bless you. Year ahead. February 5th is Jennifer Cockman's birthday, and if you're following in the brother's update, John Job Cockman there had quite a number of events that took place in their household, and trees down, cars broken, falls on the driveway, and different things, but Brother John assured us they were okay, and they're going to make it through, so we wish Sister Jennifer a happy 50th birthday. Lucas and Haley also had their anniversary on the 5th of February. And how many years, Lucas?
4 years.
4 years. 4 wonderful years. Going to be a wonderful year. And we're looking forward to this year. February 7th is the Javeds anniversary. We wish them all the best as well. They're listening this morning. February 10th, Danny Florian's birthday as well. All right, let's jump into this. I'm going to give you 2 slides that are review. And here they are. That little compartment Brother Branham talked about in a man's heart, God made it there for himself. God actually constructed you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. God actually constructed you in such a way that he left a little spot for himself. And in that spot, Brother Branham said, that's a control room. It is a place where God actually does his work. He does his work in your life. And he said, he sets there to control you. That's his place. That's where he sends his messages from. So God actually has a base of operations inside me. Hey, that's comforting. He has a base of operations within me. Now, we're talking about the Spirit-controlled church. And here's Brother Branham, actually, and I'm thankful for this. He's taken the pains to explain to us how this actually works. And it's not that God is some distant being way off somewhere in eternity, but he's nigh, even as close as the breath we breathe. And we don't need to summon him up, and we don't need to bring him down. We don't need to work ourselves into a place where God comes near. He's actually in his place. If he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us, he's in his place. And if he's in his place, he's there to do one thing, and that is to control you. Not control you in the bad sense that we hear about today. And, we talk about controlling parents or controlling governments or controlling entities in our lives. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a God who loves you so much that he comes that close to us to be in our heart, to guide us and lead us and protect us, to make sure we don't go down that road, but we go down this road. That we don't wander off into things we shouldn't be wandering off in. He's there to check us. He's there to interrupt us when we're doing things that are not right. That means that he's there when we're awake. It means that he's there when we're asleep. That means that he's with us all the time, and he's constantly adjusting things so that we can receive the right kinds of things from God that he wants to make very personal to us. Now, look, he's not guiding my wife from my heart. He's guiding my wife from her heart. But he guides me personally, and he guides you personally. Now, Brother Branham goes on to say, how can he work with you when the nature of the spirit of the devil is there? And every man born on earth is born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. And so that in that carnal Adamic nature, how can a man achieve anything? Only through his intellectuals. And when he comes to be a new creature, the old man has passed out or passed away. And the new man, Christ, takes his throne in the human heart. And then he looks different. Then life looks different. He starts on a new road from his own selfish motives. The big idea is to make himself something. He starts right towards Calvary to recognize God. So immediately when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords takes his position in that little spot in your heart, now all of a sudden your perspective is different. And I'll guarantee you, when that spirit is present, you're no longer the way you were. And the atmosphere around you changes, and the attitude that you have changes, and the values that you have, they go through a radical transformation. And the loves that you had, they're different. And the passions that you had, they're different. And it's altogether different. And Brother Bram said he's driving you right to Calvary so that you can recognize God. Now, you remember the little illustration that Brother Branham gave us a couple of weeks ago. And Brother Branham said when the Greeks came to see Jesus, and they came to the apostles and said, sirs, we would see Jesus. And Brother Branham was fascinated with Jesus' answers. When Jesus answered that question, he pointed them. He said, surely the seed will fall into the ground and die and bring forth. And Brother Branham said he didn't point him back to Bethlehem, didn't point him back to Nazareth, didn't point him back to his early childhood and say, here I am, ask Mary, virgin conceived. He didn't do that, any of that at all. He pointed him ahead to Calvary. Because Brother Branham said, the only way you're going to know God is to come through Calvary and go accept Calvary's cross. Amen. That's the only way you're going to know him. Yeah. And so Brother Branham said that Jesus pointed the Greeks ahead in that direction. And that's what he's saying right here. Now, it's a long sentence here. But he said that this person, he said, is driven straight towards Calvary to recognize God. And then his objective, his motive, his achievement, all that he has lays in the glory of the cross. So I'll tell you that, when a natural man achieves something, he likes to let people know, and they'll throw a party and say, oh, great job. You did a great thing. Oh, it's wonderful, and so forth. A Christian reacts differently when it comes to achievement. Because when it comes to our achievements and the achievements for the kingdom of God, it's not what we're going to pat Brother Barry on the back, or we're not going to pat, some minister on the back or some missionary on the back. Hey, everything we do because of the cross. Amen. Everything we do because God enabled us to do that. Because we know what it's like to be in bondage. We know what it's like to be a failure. We know what it's like to be in bondage. And we know what it's like to live without liberty. And now that we have liberty, we can't take credit for that freedom ourselves. That freedom came from the cross. That freedom came from what Jesus did, and there he paid the price for human life. So our achievement and all that we have, our motive, the reason we do things, the reason that we operate the way that we do, the reason we pay our tithes, the reason that we lay hands on the sick, the reason that we serve the Lord, the reason we make the sacrifices we need to make in serving God, the reason that we walk the way we do, the reason that we exist, and the reason we worship is not because we want to have something ourselves, but because we know what he did on the cross. We know what he did on our behalf, and he did it only because he loved us. And when that dawns on you, and when you realize that, oh, I'll tell you what, it's easier to give in to him that's in the control room. Amen. And remember now, we are not just human beings having a spiritual experience here. This is not just putting on something because it's Sunday, but rather we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And so this is the human part of our journey. This is the human part of our existence, but it's only a temporary thing. It's going to pass away. And one day we will cross back into eternity to continue the spiritual experience. Amen. Is that all right? Now, brother, we're talking about that spiritual church, that spirit-controlled church. And Brother Branham made some really interesting statements like this, and we find this in Perfect Faith. And this is an abbreviated or an abridged version of this quote, because he talks about this over several paragraphs. And he says that when Jesus lived in a world that no one knew about, he was an odd person. So I'd like to start off and say that this spirit-controlled church is weird. They're odd. They're not like other churches, and they're not like other people. And they do things differently, as we've already pointed out. He lived in a world of perfect faith in the perfect God in which he was. So if we lived in a world of perfect faith of a Christian, we'd be a mystic to the world. We also would be mystics to the world. People would not understand you. You'd walk in the Spirit. Why would people, like Brother Jeff had mentioned a couple of times, why would people in a community where there's lots of big churches in Shingle Hollow, why would you come down here? Why would you people that live out of town, why would you drive all the way to Hickory to come to a church here? Why do we do the things that we do? We do because we live in obedience to the voice of God. We live in obedience to his will. And there's something about the Word of God that we're willing to go a long way to sit in the presence of the King. Yes. Right? We want to be where God is doing something. And so Brother Branham is telling us here that as Christians, we would become mystics or strange. That's his word for strange or odd, different in the world. People would not understand. And what the Spirit said, you do. Why would Abraham take his son up on the mountain and sacrifice him, especially when God gave him such a promise? Why would David run out on the battlefield against a giant like Goliath, knowing that God anointed him to be the next king of Israel? Why do people do what they do? They do because they're driven by, they're controlled by the Spirit of God that lives within them. And he says, what it forbid, you would not do. If you've got an attitude of rebellion in you, you either don't have the Spirit of Christ controlling you on the inside, or somehow or another, you've cut off the warning signals. You can do that. Jesus lived in a world that nobody else could touch. And they wasn't in the world that he lived in. Those disciples, they weren't in the world he lived in. Why? Why would he do that? Why would Paul want to go to Rome when they knew, and even Paul, why would, Paul says, I know the things that await me in Rome. I know what's going on. But he says, I'm bound in the Spirit. And why would Jesus come back into Jerusalem like he did, knowing that, you know, the Jews were waiting for him? They couldn't understand. They couldn't figure out why Jesus did what he did. That wasn't in the world that he lived in. They wasn't in the world that he lived in. And he says, but now you're getting into bride material. Pause for effect. Pause for effect. Now you're getting into bride material. This spirit-controlled church, I believe, is the bride of Christ. Amen. How this bride lives is going to be mystical or strange or different to the rest of the world. Amen. They're going to do things that are neither logical nor sensible. Amen. They're not going to be practical. They're not going to be always the safest thing to do. But they're going to do it anyway because there's a higher power that controls them. Amen. How we got into this in the first place is unique. Because God doesn't deal with all of us the same way. You all didn't come in the same way. You don't have to sign a document, tick off the boxes on a statement of faith. You didn't have to do that. God brings us in uniquely. God deals with us uniquely. For instance, in Acts chapter 16, you kids ought to remember Acts chapter 16 from Adventures. There was a certain woman of Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Lydia's testimony is that she can say, I believe. I mean, the Lord opened my heart. I just don't know. I mean, I just know that the Lord opened my heart somehow. That's not how later in the chapter the Philippian jailer came in. God had to open the earth. Right? And here's the Philippian jailer. Come on, you remember the story. You kids remember the story, right? You remember those prisoners? Those prisoners are still among us today. They're still here. And those guards are still here. And all those singing, all that, those two that sang all the time, they're still here. I always remember the probably the best line of adventures in the Bible last year. The best line was when Matt was holding onto the bars and pressing his face out through, and he yelled at me. He said, "The torture I can take, the rats I can take, but the singing," he says, "let me out of here." Some people come in like Lydia. Some people come in like the keeper of the prison. But either way, God got your attention. And from that moment on, everything is different. Amen. Now, in Acts chapter 20 now, and we referred to this last night, and last week, or whenever it was we met on a Sunday. I know we have met before on Sundays. And whenever that was, because it's all a bit of a blur at this particular point. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is with the believers on his way to Rome. And he says, I kept back nothing. This is his, in a sense, this is his last words to them. And he says, I kept back nothing that was profitable for you, and I have showed you and I've taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And in essence, what Paul is really called in question for is that, listen now, he's saying that we preach one thing, and that is Christ crucified and risen. And Paul is actually making the claim. He says, we believe that God actually condescended in the form of a man, stood on the earth, lived, breathed, ate, drank, slept just like us. He became one of us. And not only became one of us, he took our sin upon himself because he loved us and went to the cross and died and paid the penalty in the eyes of God on your behalf. But the good news is that he broke the bonds of death and came out of that grave. Proving that a man can break the bonds of death and come forth after life. This was the answer that everybody sought up to this time. Nobody had ever done that. Everybody who died was dead. But when Jesus died, he came back. And Paul said, that's the gospel that we preach. That's what we believe in. And for that, he was called into question in every place that he went. Because this was not the common message. We've had 2,000 years of practice in preaching that message, but Paul preached it in this way for the first time, and here he is now proclaiming to the world, and he's in question, he's hated, he's persecuted, he's besieged, he's spat upon, he's beat up, he's kicked out of cities, he spends days in the ocean, he's attacked and he's mocked, and he's refused and he's rejected by people, but he holds on to that one thing. And he says, it is because that we preach to the Jews and to the Greeks, we preach to everybody the same thing. Repentance towards God, because that's the only way you can be saved, and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because if he's still in the grave, all of this is for nothing. But I'm telling you, he's alive, and he's alive in me, controlling me, and that's why I'm here today. And that's what he's telling the people. He says, now, this may not make sense to a lot of people, and it may not be practical, and certainly it's not safe, but I'm doing it anyway. I'm going bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. I know none of it's good, but I don't know exactly what's going to happen. I just know that I've got to go. Save the Holy Ghost witness within every city that bonds and afflictions abide me. So I know it's not going to be good, but I'm going to go anyway because I'm not the one in control. He's the one in control. How many of you could say honestly, and you don't need to respond to this, but how many of you can honestly say that you'd be willing to let the Holy Spirit, if he spoke to you, if you'd be willing to let him take you into a dangerous position, into a dangerous spot, just because you know it was the Holy Spirit and you know you felt led? How many of you are at that place in life where you'd be willing to go? How many of you would be willing to accompany me to Ukraine? Isaac, he put his hand up. All right, Isaac, me and you. We'd go to Ukraine. I've told my wife before, I have such a burden for the people over there and the position that they're in. Jaron would also go. Lucas said he would go too. All right. I said you didn't have to answer this. I have such a burden for them because it is, from what I understand and from what I know, it is probably one of the closest things you'll see to pre-tribulation in this world. And to hear about what they're going through and to hear about the things that they experience. And, you know, it's absolutely heartbreaking and heart-wrenching. And I because I know the people and I know the country, I would love to go. I'd love to be there. I'd love to be able to stand with them and pray with them and encourage them in whatever way I possibly could. Now, you may say, you're nuts. But how many of you would say, I'd go? If the Lord laid it on my heart to go with you, I'd go. Not because it's practical, and I'm not asking you to be a He-Man or anything else. I'm just saying that if you really felt led and bound in the Spirit to go and do something, would you do it, even if your own personal safety was at risk? Would you be willing to do it? And this is what the book of Acts is. Now, remember, Brother Branham said about the book of Acts that if the Holy Spirit ever writes another one about this church, he said he'd be able to write a book of Acts behind it. And, you know, guess what? That's us. Now, Brother Branham said, if you don't mind, I'd like to just expound on this for a little bit here. I'd like to just play with this idea here of being bound in the Spirit. And Paul is moving. He's in motion here to get to Jerusalem, and he's walking with the Holy Spirit. How many would agree? He's walking with the Holy Spirit. Now, Brother Branham talks about this, and the Bible talks about it in other instances here, and I'd like to just elaborate on this for a moment here because it's going to affect you. Every word is true, Brother Branham said, and Enoch had faith enough one day to take an afternoon stroll with God. So this is a walking with God as well. Just kept on walking, walked up home without dying. And I think that the church has got to come to that, to a rapturing faith. The church has got to come to that. But remember now that Enoch walked with God when? Before, pre, or post-rapture? He walked with God pre-rapture, right? He had an experience where he walked with God and had a testimony that he pleased God, and then God took him. So he walked with God before he went. In other words, when you're walking with somebody, you're in harmony with them. You're side by side. You're on the same road. You're on the same path. And you're probably moving at the same pace. And that's what Enoch did. He walked with God. Now, Brother Bram describes it as an afternoon stroll. You wouldn't describe the previous scripture verse as an afternoon stroll because Paul is realizing this has taken me to a place where I could lose my life. And this could be the end of it, the last time I ever speak to you. But he says, here's Enoch. Now, remember now, the era that Enoch lived in was the era that Noah lived in. And in Noah's time, the people's heart was filled with violence. So I doubt that Enoch was really a popular guy. I don't believe that Enoch had an afternoon stroll in the park, walking through the lilies, you know, that kind of a lifestyle. I don't believe it all because the way he preached, and we got little snippets of it over in the book of Jude there, Enoch was not a guy who was real patient with the status quo. He was not a guy who probably would have been friendly with everybody out there because his message would have cut sharply across the mindset that existed in the days of Noah. And so therefore, Enoch maintained that testimony and he maintained that walk with God. And then finally, God took him because he was not. Brother Branham goes on to say in another place, he said, and there's where the church is failing today is on that doctrine. No, it's not what he said. There's where the church is falling today is on that walk. The church's biggest problem is with the way it walks. Wow. Can I go a little further? This gets interesting. Oh, it's too bad that the church doesn't walk in the Spirit like that more than we do, for it's that kind of time when God comes to you. Wow. There's an advantage to walking with God. There's an advantage to walking in the Spirit. And that it gives God a time to come to you. That gives God a time to be able to fellowship with you. And you know what? I think that's more profitable than anything else you can do. There's nothing, listen to me, there's nothing that can replace your time alone with God. Amen. There's nothing that will replace your time alone with God. You need to carve out a little time with God, no matter how little it is. You need to regularly do that in your experience and in your devotions and so on. You need to have a time where it's not you and everybody else, but it's just you and God. And you need to have that little time so that he can come near to you if he wants to speak to you, to correct you, to guide you, because that's why he's in that little office in your heart in the first place. And he said, it's too bad the church doesn't walk like that in the Spirit the way we did. Now, here's an interesting story. And I had never noticed this before. It's 1955 when Brother Branham tells it. And he's in Switzerland. And he's telling about this experience in Switzerland. He was over there for meetings. And Brother Branham was having a great campaign over there. It had been advertised a lot in Switzerland. And this is kind of different than the Switzerland of today, but nonetheless, there were so many people there. And he uses the number 170,000 people were actually there in this meeting. It was in the monster of an auditorium and a facility. And there were so many people around that they had to bring Brother Branham in under armed guard, and they had to bring him out under armed guard. That was a regular occurrence. Every service he came in that way, because people back in that day, they wanted to touch him, they wanted to get in his shadow, they wanted to throw babies at him, and all the other things that happened in that early part of his ministry. And so one morning, Brother Branham wakes up. He's in a hotel room with him and Billy Paul, and he woke up and he said, the Holy Spirit was directing me. He said, come and walk with me. And Brother Branham, he's listening. He's just waiting. He realizes this is that angel that visits him. And he says, I want you to go down by the river. And I'm not quoting here. But he says, I want you to go down by the river. And he said, then I'll show you what it is that comes next. And so Brother Branham gets up and gets dressed. And he's waiting for Billy Paul to wake up. And finally, Billy Paul wakes up. And he says, Billy, come walk with me. And Billy says, where do you want to go this early in the morning? He said, we're going to go down by the river, and we're going to just take a little walk. And he said, you know you can't do that. He said, you know it'd be dangerous for us to go out. The crowds will recognize you, and he said, they'll besiege us, and we don't have our security with us, and so we can't do that. And Brother Bram says, but he told me. He told me. So let's go. So Billy Paul gets dressed. They get up in the morning, have their coffee and croissant, like all good, sensible Europeans do. And they move down, they walk down through the street, and they go down by the, through the pathways and wind up on the river. They're walking along this river path. Nobody interrupts Brother Bram. Nobody recognizes him. Nobody says a word to him. Now, he's at the peak of this revival that's going on, and he's walking along the river there, and Billy Paul says, well, what are you doing? He says, there's going to be a man come here, and he says, that man is going to stop you and me, and he's going to talk about his sister who has an injury in her arm, a bad injury. And he said, he'll be from Russia. And Billy Paul says, okay. And he has no clue what's going on. And finally, Brother Branham walking down, and there's a man, as he goes past in the riverside, he sees a man that's sitting on the bench. And as he goes past the bench, he says to Billy Paul, he nudges him, that's the man right there. They keep on going. They keep walking. After a little while, Billy Paul turns around, and he says, hey, Dad, that man's following us. Imagine now a Russian following you like that, right, on a riverside in a European city. Oh, I mean, this is, anyway. Here he is going down by the side of the river, and he walks a little faster, catches up with Brother Branham, and he says, sir, he says, I would like you to pray. Now here's where we pick up Brother Branham. That's the way Brother Branham said it. And he pulled out his little satchel. He said he was from Russia. He had a handkerchief in there that he wanted me to pray over and tear into 6 strips for a woman with a real bad arm that had been hurt, and the arm wouldn't get well, and it was shrinking up. Now, I've been to these countries many times, and I will tell you that whenever we preached and whenever we had a meeting, there would be on a table next to the pulpit, whenever we prayed, there'd be a mountain of prayer cloths there. Today, if I went there and held a service, there'd be a mountain of prayer cloths there. Because they would be putting prayer cloths for everyone they know who would need healing. And they would be putting prayer cloths there in case somebody needs healing up the road. And so it's nothing for a person to put a dozen prayer cloths on the table. So you get a meeting with 500 people in it, and they're going to have you're going to have a lot of prayer cloths on the table. So that's a very common occurrence. So this man had a prayer cloth, and he said, I'm going to cut this into six strips. And he said it's for the woman, and she was the mother of five children. Six strips, just perfect. And Brother Branham said, I looked at his passport, and he was from Russia behind the Iron Curtain. And he said, how did you know that I was down here? How did you know that I was here by the, in Switzerland? He said, Swiss radio broadcasts across the border. And he says, we heard about the great miracle that took place in Finland when that boy was raised. And he was in the car crash. And there was, remember the story. And Brother Branham had the vision of the two flowers in the vase. And both of them were knocked over. And he says, and one of them came back up again. It was a boy who was raised from the dead. The other boy was injured and went to the hospital. And finally, that one came up as well. And that testimony and that story, because Brother Branham challenged everybody. He said, if that doesn't happen just the way I've told you, he said, brand me a false prophet, and I'll walk down through the streets of the city and wear a sign that says false prophet. And so that went around the world. That went everywhere, and even without social media. And they were all excited about that testimony that God has visited our generation. And so it spread ripple all the way through Russia. And this man had heard about that testimony and heard on Swiss radio that this man is now going to be in Switzerland. So he said he got a visa and went and came there, and he was going to have prayer for that person. Now, and the end of the story was Brother Branham says, he says, God has already shown me the situation. He says, go home, you'll find her well. And she was completely well, and so forth. But Brother Branham, in this story, the point is that Brother Branham was told by the Holy Spirit, even if the situation was not sensible or practical, just walk with me. And it's when you walk with him, that's when he has a chance to deal with it. That's when he has a chance to do things. Now listen to Brother Branham again. Abraham, as soon as God called him to separate himself. That's a strange thing. You've never walked this way before, but I want you to separate yourself so you can walk with me among a strange people speaking a strange language, and you're to be a pilgrim and a sojourner. So when God called Abraham, that's what he wanted him to do. He just didn't give him a bunch of instructions, but he said, Abraham, I want to walk with you, and I'm going to be with you in that land. I'm going to be with you in your trials. I'm going to be with you no matter what you go through. Don't you worry, because I want you to walk with me. That's what Abraham did. And every man that's born of Christ separates himself from sin immediately. In other words, the desire for sin fades away. It goes away. And the Holy Spirit just calls you right out in a different nature. You used to run the nightclubs everywhere you should not have went. But when God called you, he calls you to separate from that kind of a life and walk a different life. How many can say amen? Amen. And when God calls you out, and if you're not walking a different life, we have a problem. Brother Branham said, I'm afraid of defeat. I'm afraid of bringing a reproach. I'm always afraid, think I'll call the wrong thing. I've taken warning in the Bible. He said, I see how Moses, he was given a great power and smote the rock instead of speaking to it and got in trouble with God. And I see Elijah, how he went bald-headed and then little children teased him about being bald-headed. And he put a curse on those children and 42 of them were killed by bears. Now that wasn't the Holy Spirit, but it was that prophet angered. Because that prophet has a certain power and the spoken word has power. How many believe that? Amen. And that wasn't the Holy Spirit, but he said, And there he stood talking to me. And Brother Branham, the angel was saying, well, why don't you go forward and do this? And why don't you go ahead on the basis of faith? But he said, I'm afraid I'll get defeated. I'm afraid I'll bring reproach against the name. And this is what he said to him. And there he stood talking to me and he said, but you walk with too many. To walk with me, you'll walk alone. Right. To walk with me, you'll walk alone. Because I want to have singular absolute control out of that control tower. I want to have that in your life. And girls, I'll tell you this. If you can't sense that guy's got a controller, a Holy Ghost controller inside of his heart, you should not have anything to do with him. Amen. In terms of marriage. And guys, if you find a girl who's only interested in getting married, and she's only interested in having a boy and changing that relationship status on her social media, that's all she's in it for, You should not marry her. You want to find, you want to hear the Holy Spirit speaking through that person, speaking through that, out of that control room, and speaking the words of life. That's what you want to find. You want to find a person who's under that leadership. You don't want to find a guy who's willing to, I'll move here for the girl, I'll go there for the girl, I'll change my jobs for the girl, I'll do whatever I need to do as long as I get the girl. Yeah, let me tell you, that's not the kind of guy you want to marry. I'll tell you, that's not the kind of guy you want to marry. You want to find a son of God who's led by the Spirit of God and knows where he stands with God, because he's going to need that when he gets married and has kids and a family and all the things that come with families. How many of you brothers can say amen?
Amen.
And we know that is what we need to have. And I'll guarantee you cultivate that relationship with God when you walk alone with him, but you can walk with too many, and you can have too much fellowship, and you can have too much interaction with people, and you can inquire too much on social media about what you should do and where you should go and what you should be. Should I leave my father's house? Should I get married to this guy? Should I go to college? Should I do this? And all the other questions that we have. Let me tell you, the best source of an answer is not from social media. The best source is when you walk alone with God.
Amen.
You remember this story. I stood still, my brethren, wondering what was happening. Brother Bram's up in the mountains in Colorado, and the sleet and the rain stopped, and the wind whirling down through the mountains there lifted up the clouds. And he said they went north, south, east, and west, which is contrary to how nature works. It had to be God. Within a few minutes, the sun was shining warm, and I stood there looking all around, my hat off, looking, and I got numb all over. Now, he doesn't see the presence of God. He does not observe. There he is standing in a body. But I thought, the very God of creation, it's all in his hands. And what's he telling me? He knows somehow. He's learned over years of experience. He's learned to recognize he's close somehow. He's close by. He's near to where I am. And he said, all of a sudden, he picked up his gun, wiped off the scope, started down the hill. Something said to me, why don't you stroll with me through the wilderness? Walk with me. Because I would submit to you today, I believe that's what God wants more than a lot of things. He's interested in that more than your performance. He's interested in that more than all your excuses. He's interested in walking with you. He's interested in being on the same page with you. And I said, yes, Lord, with all my heart, it would be one of the greatest things that I could do is to walk with you. Huh. Who knew that 2,000 years ago, Paul caught it and wrote it for us? He said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other. Now remember now, sorry for dwelling on this so long here, but Brother Bram said this is where the church fails, is on the walk. The church doesn't fail on the amount of church events they have in the run of a year. The church doesn't fail because it doesn't raise enough money. The church doesn't fail because it's not big enough. That has nothing to do with it. The church fails because it's not walking in the right way. So I hope it's all right to talk a little bit about this walk. But I will tell you this. You can't walk in the flesh and in the Spirit in the same time. You can't do both. You can't walk in the flesh and in the Spirit at the same time. Because the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary. These are antagonistic is what the Greek word means there, one to the other. So you cannot do the things that you would. And if you led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So therefore, there's a freedom that a person has. All right, so now we got to define what the flesh is, because we don't want to go there. Right?
Yeah.
We don't want to go there. So let me summarize this and say that the flesh is your life apart from Christ. Your flesh is your life apart from Christ. If you are apart from Christ, you're living in the flesh. You can say amen if you want. You don't have to. I'll give you more. Your life apart from God, or I'd say it this way, everything you are minus God. If we take God out of the equation, you're walking in the flesh. Oh, come on, you might be sitting right here in the church, dressed perfectly, and have, you know, good shoes on, like Nathaniel has good shiny shoes on over there, and, you know, spiffy, charismatic, suave, independently wealthy, charismatic, and extremely good looking. You might have all of that going for you. But if that Holy Spirit is not in that place that he's designed for himself and operating and controlling you, you are everything minus God. I'll tell you, you're walking in the flesh. Huh. Now let's go a little further, because I like to go a little further, and let's define what is the flesh. Number one, it's a soft substance. It's the flab. The soft substance of the living body, which covers the bones, the blood, the body. That's what the flesh is. We all right? No mystery there. You didn't even need to come to church to figure that out. Also, we could say, it's my genealogy. It's my origin. And your origin shows up in your actions in your body. Right? Every now and then, you don't realize this because you didn't know my dad, but there are things that show up in me that are truly a reflection of my father, and I know that because I lived with him for a long time. What's really, really humorous is when I see my grandchildren acting like Frank, and I wonder, where did they get it? Because it wasn't me, guys. It wasn't me. So we say that, well, that's who I am. That's the flesh, you know, I mean. That's where I came from. The third thing that the flesh is the animal nature, the sensuous animal nature, without any suggestion of depravity. I mean, even if you're not born again and you're not intending to be natural or carnal, it's built in. It's the animal nature with cravings which incite to sin. So there's a way you're going to go because of the flesh. The flesh is going to lead you. Now remember, it's not just the physical part here. It's more than that. There's a nature in there. There's a life in there that causes you to do certain things. Do you ever feel like you've eaten enough and then eaten a little bit more? Yeah. You ever had a warning to not look anymore, but look a little more? Yeah. Have you ever thought, I shouldn't say something, I shouldn't let that come out of my lips? And it does. And a lot of that is because there's a nature in there that has, I'd say it this way, it's a kingdom. It's a kingdom within you. And the fourth thing that the flesh is, it's human nature, the earthly nature of a man apart from divine influence. So it is that which is prone to sin and opposed to God. And if the flesh goes long enough, it'll die without God. Now I need to say this, because you have to understand very clearly that your flesh is still around. And despite the fact that you may be born again, your flesh is still around. And your flesh will actually carry you to the body change. I said your flesh will carry you to the body change. You'll be in that flesh until you receive a new body. And then you'll die and you'll seize that everlasting prize. So the flesh is going to be around for a while, but it is something that is contrary to God. It is absolutely contrary to God. And the Holy Spirit promises that when he comes into a person, and I'm paraphrasing a lot of quotes in scriptures, but when he comes into a person, he takes up residence there. We've already established that, right? The little room, the heart, the control center, right? But that rule in that kingdom does not go uncontested, because Satan was there first. In the natural sense, Satan was there first. That evil nature, this stuff right here, that was what you were born with. That's what you came into the world with. You came into the world speaking lies. And you came into the world in that way, and Satan was there first. Now, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit moves in and says, all right, now you're under my control. Satan doesn't say, oh man, shoot, I'll find someone else. There's a contest, there's a war, there's a battle that goes on. How many would agree?
Amen.
And that war is a continual thing. And he's going to war, and he's going to deal with you. As a matter of fact, I would even say that, forgive me here for stretching a little bit, but Brother Branham said that God had a filing cabinet, didn't he? And in that filing cabinet, he had pictures. He had info about you, because that's what you put in a filing cabinet. I know some of you young people don't know what a filing cabinet is. A file is a file, right? It's something that you look up on your phone. It's just like 75.8% of you opened your last update. I know that. Because I have the ability now to see how many updates are opened. So you young people that think you got a corner on all the old folks because we don't know what we're doing when it comes to electronics, I want you to know that me and Constant Contact are walking on the same page. And I know when you don't open your emails. That's why you get a second one. We're going to have fun with this. Oh, we're going to have fun with this. God has a filing cabinet. In that filing cabinet, you keep info, you keep pictures of things that you want to hang on to. What if Satan had a filing cabinet? What if Satan had a bunch of files in there and he kept notes on you? What would it look like? What would it look like? What would it say in that file? He's got pictures of you, like, you know, my picture, you know, some of my pictures. He's probably got some of those in there because he's trying to achieve a certain look. That look is not what God saw before the foundation of the world. It's the guy with the one flew over the cuckoo nest outfit on, right? And the hat and the cigarette and all of that. He's got those pictures there. That's his file. That's his collection of photographs of me. And he probably has little notes written in there. Easily tempted to lust. Susceptible to drugs. Has an addictive personality. Doesn't take anything serious. Doesn't regard authority. And probably runs with knives. Satan's probably got all kinds of notes in there. He's especially vulnerable when he gets tired or overworked, overwhelmed, or when somebody criticizes him. He's got a real touchy spot. And so make sure everybody touches that spot. Hey, listen, if God can have a filing cabinet, Satan can have a filing cabinet, because Satan's not a creator. He's only a copier of the original creation, right? So I'm just saying, what if? So the battle exists. Let me put it graphically, because this is going to floor you. I'm actually putting pictures of animals up on the screen. You remember the story Brother Branham told about the two dogs. He says, two natures beat within my breast. One is foul, the one is blessed. The one I love, the one I hate. The one I will feed will dominate. Now let me tell you what. I know you're not going to believe this. But those dogs are not going to be like that. There's not going to be a compatibility between them. They're not going to get along. They're not going to coexist in harmony. Before you think I'm crazy, it's going to look more like this. It's going to be a reaction like this, because the Bible says that the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary. They're like two fighting dogs. It's a horrible thing to see two fighting dogs. It's more horrible to try to separate the two fighting dogs. But this is the way that it rages within you. And what I'm saying is that, you know, here's Brother Branham as a prophet and as a man close to God as he is, and in the position that he is with all the different things that happened in his life and all the ways that God spoke to him and God communed with him and God showed him and God did miracles through him. And he's still nervous here because he said, I read the Bible and I see what Moses did and I see what Elijah did and I don't want to mess up. And he's reluctant to walk with God. Imagine now, you would think if anybody should be confident about walking with God, it should be Brother Branham. But he's reluctant to do that because he's afraid of messing up. He knows the consequences of messing up. If you have your Bible open, take a look here. In Galatians chapter 5. Verse 18. Everybody got it? But if you be led of the Spirit, you're under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. That word manifest simply means obvious. The works of the flesh are obvious. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. And all of these have to do with sexual sins. And don't underestimate your flesh to fall back into sexual sin. And that could be anything from kissing your boyfriend to all the other stuff that comes after that. And Paul says, these are the works of the flesh. And you say, ha, 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 you know, we're just doing a little harmless fun. Watch. 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, strife, seditions and heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Everybody with me? Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall get a rap on the knuckles. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The attributes of walking in the Spirit have an eternal consequence. Now, you can do what you want with this, but I'm just telling you what it says. I'm under obligation to tell you what it says. And it tells you that if you're walking in that on that pathway, and you may think it's harmless, you may think nobody sees us, you may think, it's just a little harmless fun. The problem is that harmless fun doesn't just stay harmless fun. It develops into other things that are not harmless anymore. And Paul is saying that, hey, these are attributes of a bigger problem, and that problem has eternal consequences here. So, you know, I've had preachers debate me on 1 Corinthians 7:1. Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, is good for a man not to touch a woman. But let every man avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife and every woman have her own husband. That's what the Bible says. And I've had preachers debate me on that. They've criticized me for you quoting that scripture. I'm not sure why preachers in the message would criticize me for quoting the scripture, but they do. And they say, well, it doesn't mean that. But I will tell you this, that everything in verse 19 starts when a man touches a woman or a woman touches a man. I said, everything in 19 starts when people start touching. And so Paul says to avoid that and to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, because this kind of conduct, it belongs in a certain place, and it belongs under a covenant, and the covenant is called marriage. Amen. And that's where it belongs. And when you get outside of that, you're going to bring disgrace and dishonor to yourself. You're going to bring disgrace and dishonor to your family and your family name and the body of Christ and the God that you serve. And that's what Paul is saying. We have a problem, and the attributes and the consequences of that problem will have eternal ramifications. But the fruit of the Spirit is also obvious. It's joy and peace and long-suffering and so on, meekness, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. That word crucify there is a dynamic phrase. That means that like I've used it before, it means that we're going to crucify now and we're going to keep crucifying. We're gonna be in the process right now of crucifying, or we're going to not give the flesh an opportunity to act. We're going to deprive it of its power and take away that power to act, and we're going to keep doing that in the future. It's not one act of crucifying the flesh. It is a continuous, ongoing kind of quenching. It's a kind of an ongoing depriving of that power in me to act and operate, because I know it's there. Because you know what, folks? You don't age out of this. Lust is lust, and you don't age out. And you can fall into this. Even as a child of God, you can fall into it. And you can fall into it sometimes very innocently. And Paul has given us a pretty clear warning. Me also. I heard a story about two girls that were involved in an apartment building fire. And it was a new building. This is a true story. It's a new building. And they had all the latest safety features and all the alarms and protections in a modern apartment building. The law mandates that buildings had to be built a certain way. Two girls died in their sleep in the fire. They died first from smoke inhalation, because the place filled entirely with smoke, and then the fire ravaged through their apartment. They got the fire out. The owner of the building was mortified, naturally, because he knew. That there were controls in place, and this should not have happened. And he knew. He knew that there was something amiss. And they did their investigations, as the fire marshals do, and they came and examined the situation. And when they looked closely, they found the fire alarm system had been switched off. It was purposely switched off, intentionally. And the reason it was intentionally switched off is because 2 days before, they had had a bunch of young yahoos there, young people there, and they were having a party. And in the party, they were cooking meat. And they were cooking the meat in the oven because they didn't have all the things that they needed, and so they were creating a lot of smoke. And the fire alarm kept going off. So these two guys flipped the button and turned the power off to the fire alarm system while they were cooking. But because it was a party and there was probably other things going on besides cooking meat, they forgot to turn back the system on again. They forgot to re-engage the system. And these girls were caught because the warning system was off. I'd like to simply say to you that if we're not careful, because of choices we make, we can turn off the alarm system. Consequences are not always good. I don't need to ask, and I wouldn't ask, have you ever felt like you could turn off the warning system? I don't need to ask, have you ever turned off the warning system, meaning that you chose not to hear? You don't want to have that alarm go off. Here's Paul in the New Living Testament. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what sinful nature craves. Sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. You'll remember for a long time the image of the dogs with their arms around one another, hardly believing that Brother Barry would actually put that up there. At least it wasn't cats. But I have to tell you, this is not the way that it is. These forces are constantly fighting against each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. Because that's what Satan does. He'll jump on those experiences that you have and say, maybe you're not even a Christian in the first place. What are you doing singing like that in church? And what are you doing coming and washing the feet of the saints? And what are you doing, you know, going through the motions of being a Christian here? And he'll jump on your shoulder and he'll ride you. He'll ride you hard. And you got forces that are fighting inside there so that you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you're directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. Look at this quote. I'm going to wrap it up. God don't see you no more. He only sees Christ. When a person becomes a Christian, he said he only sees Christ, the sacrifice at Calvary. He took our judgments, invited us in, and by faith through grace we walk in accepting our pardon. And the Holy Spirit brings us into this fellowship with him. You walk no more after the things of the world, but we walk in the Spirit. All my desire now, as a result of that, all my desire is to serve him. All my love is to him. All my walks want to be in his name. All my walks, my work walk, my school walk, my church walk, all my walks, I want to do it in his name. Wherever I go, whatever I do, I glorify him. If I'm hunting, if I'm fishing, if I'm playing ball, and whatever, I must be Christ in me. Such a life that will make men long to be that way. Not tattling, backbiting, and fussing about your churches and so forth. Not having a wrong attitude. You know, playing a sport, and you know, certain people will act a certain way when they play sports, right? Certain parents will act a certain way during sports events, right? And Brother Branham is not, he's not encouraging one versus the other. He's just saying that whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and do it in such a way that people look at you and say, you're different. Man, you're different. And they'd want to ask you, you know, who are you? Why do you act like you do? And You know, you're just kind of a different person here. And that comes from having that walk with God that's consistent every day. Every day. Blind Bartimaeus, Brother Branham says now, Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and he said, some people were shouting, Hosanna, you know, King of Kings and so forth, here's our Messiah, and they were happy that he was here. Other people, he said, the priest said, see, he said, hey, you Galilean so-called prophet, if you raise the dead like you said you did raise Lazarus, we got a whole graveyard up here in the hill. Let's see you come on, raise some of them. That's what they were saying to Jesus. They were mocking him as he came in. You know, he said, the devil, that devil's not dead yet either. He still lives. But here's the response. Jesus never paid any attention to him. And if he didn't, neither do his people today. Let him holler his head off. We don't care. Because we're walking in the Spirit of the Lord. I say, God, help us to walk in the Spirit. Lord, help us to walk in the Spirit. And the key to walking in the Spirit is to not walk in the flesh. The flesh is everything minus God in your life. In other words, I don't want to have that control me. I don't want to have those habits and those kinds of things control me. I don't want to live that way. I don't want to be under that influence. And so you have to, you know, simply, and you've been around a long time, you have to simply look at the influences in your life, check them by the word. And if that thing is making me weaker, if that thing is taking me farther from God, if that thing is weakening my interest and my love towards God, and if that thing is causing me to be too busy to serve God, and all the other foolish things that can happen like that, you got to stop and you got to evaluate it and say, Lord, help me to walk with you, not contrary to you, but help me to walk with you. Amen. And Lord, let's just do it today. Let's just do it one step at a time, one day at a time. And we're just going to trust that you'll help us, Lord, especially in those areas of weakness, because I will tell you something. When here's something I've often said to people at an altar. You know, young people, different meetings, and they come to the altar. And I always tell them, I assure them, this one thing Brother Bram said, that if you make a step to God, God will make a step towards you. Man, that's a comforting thing. And I always say to them, you're here at the altar. You know, you're here, and young or old. You made a step. You come up to the altar for something, and you made that step towards God. Believe now that God's made a step towards you. And hopefully, there's not that much distance between you that he's got to make 100 more and you got to make 100 more. Amen. But that you'd walk close enough to him that if you made a step to him and he made a step to you, we'd be face to face. That's where you want to be living. That's where you want to be living. And may God help us to have that kind of a desire in our hearts that, Lord, I want to be walking in such a way that if I make a step to you, I'm right in your presence there. I'm not far. I'm not, you know, walked 100 steps away from you, but I want to be living in proximity. I want to be on the same page. I want to be moving in the same direction. I want to have the same pace as what you have. I want to walk with you, not against you. I want to walk with you and be considered a friend and someone who you love and you care for. You know, when two friends go out for a walk, my wife, you know, whenever we go out for a walk, you know, we might just go around our neighborhood there and we walk around. We've never, in all of our years of walking, we've never walked in silence because we always chat, you know. Whoa, look at that neighbor over there. Their lawn's not as nice as ours. You know, different things. And we'd chat about different things. Isn't it nice to be the Joneses when it comes to the lawn? And well, not really. We don't. You don't think I'd say that. We don't say that kind of thing. But we chat back and forth one another. And you know what? I believe if I understand it right and all the quotes, and I left off a whole bunch, and I've got 40-something more here. But I'll just say this, that I believe that that's what God wanted when Brother Branham was on top of the hill in Colorado and blew the storm away so that he could just take just a minute to walk with that prophet and say, why don't you walk with me?
Amen.
God had all those angels up there and all those created beings up there in heaven that he was around all day long. But there's something in that prophet, something in that man. He said, oh, I'd just like to be able to have a man that can recognize my presence and believe that it's me, redeemed by the blood of Christ, and that he'd want to walk with me. Why don't you walk with me for a little bit? Let's just stroll down the hill. And Brother Bram does it. Common sense would tell you, I think that'll bring joy to God's heart. Because you know what? Satan will try to attack you. And he'll try to distract you. And he'll get you walking in a different direction. He'll try to get you to make a U-turn. Doesn't mean that you don't have eternal life. Neither does it mean necessarily you're lost. It just means that the devil would love for you to have to realize, maybe in some service, I got to catch up. And you start taking off. And you got to, I'm supposed to be walking with him. The devil would love for you to be out of sync. But even when you're walking with God, the enemy is there to attack. Even when you're close to God, the enemy is there to attack. And that's why we pray for the sick. That's why we believe that God's a healer. That's why we sorrow not as others when somebody passes away. Because we have a hope. We believe. We trust God. And the very best thing we can always do is trust him in the good times and in the bad. In the situations that are positive and the situations that are not so positive. And that's why we want to pray this morning. Let's have our musicians, if you'll slip up here this morning. And we'll have you stand to your feet just so you can change your position. And I want you to pray with me this morning. Far as I understand it, men of God are trained for battle. We're being trained to fight. Soldiers in the real army out there in the world, they're not trained just so they can walk in parades. They're not in the army just to wear a fancy uniform. They're trained to fight. And we have also, we've been trained not just to come to church, not just to be seen in church, but we've been trained to believe, to fight. Like Brother Branham, often when he prayed for people, he'd say, Satan, I command you to take your hands off God's property. Because we're claiming that because we have a right to. Not because we deserve it, and that never entered into it, but because we have a right, because of what Jesus paid for on Calvary. That's why we claim, make claims like that. Because it's something that's our promise. It's what Jesus died for, that we might be, by his stripes we are healed. And so we believe that. This morning, we're going to pray for Brother Mike Pritchard. And if anybody else would like to have prayer, we're certainly welcome to do that. And if you don't mind, sorry to be repetitive, but I wonder, can we sing that In Christ Alone? And then, Jaron, I'm going to count on you to run from that to some singing. And if you will, just enter into me now, with me now. And we'd like to just switch gears just a little bit and have prayer this morning. We do it like Brother Brad, like the scriptures tell us. We have anointing oil, and if any be sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and we'll pray. And that's what we need to do. That's our Christian duty. And so whatever your need is this morning, we're certainly welcome to pray for you. In Christ alone will I glory. I could pride myself. For I've been blessed beyond measure by his strength alone I overcome. And though I can stop and count successes, my time.
Oh,
We're going to pray for Brother Mike. And Brother Mike's been going through some testing. And we're just going to trust that the Lord will undertake for Brother Mike. And we're believing with all of our heart because we know that our God heals. And so I ask the family to come on up, Brother Mark, and our deacons here, and just join our faith together and ask that the Lord would undertake for Brother Mike. He's got some tests he still has to do tomorrow and some results and so forth that are coming. And, Brother Branham taught us. He's very clear. He just said, don't try to figure out why. Why now? Why me? He didn't tell us to ask those questions. He told us, only believe that all things are possible. So we come to God as a healer. We don't come to God doubting why things happen. We don't come to God questioning him. We come to God because he made a promise on our behalf and said, by your stripes we are healed. So we just want to join our hearts together. And I want you to pray as well. And we just ask for the Lord's blessing upon our brother Mike. Come on in, brothers, and lay your hands on one another here. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence today, Lord, thanking you for a path that we can take whenever a situation happens in our lives that we don't understand. And we thank you, Lord, for doctors and testing and procedures that they do, Lord, in order to help us to be well. We thank you for that. And we've seen many great things that have been done, even supernaturally, at the hand of a doctor. And we are appreciative of all of that, Lord. And we live in a country where that's available to us. But Lord, you taught us simply in the gospel, and by your example, you taught us just to only believe, to reach out in faith, just like that woman who had a blood issue, and she reached out, Lord, and never said a word, but just reached out because you were passing by. And so today, in your passing by, in your walk among us, we reach out and we grab the hem of your garment, and we say, Lord Jesus, let your healing virtue flow to Brother Mike today. We know that this affliction has not come from you. We know it comes from the hand of the enemy. And we curse it in the name of Jesus Christ and pray that your mercy would extend to our brother, Lord. He's a servant of the Lord and has lived his life, Lord, serving you and desiring, Lord, to walk with you and to be pleasing in his life to you, Lord. And I pray now in Jesus' name that you'd forgive him of anything that might be contrary. And let the Holy Spirit just flow here today, Lord. Just touch him supernaturally, we pray. And Lord, it's our desire to give you the glory and to give you the honor and give you the praise for what you're going to do, Lord, in this situation. We are not here to tell you what to do. We are simply here to bring our needs and our petitions before the throne of God and lay them at your altar, Lord, believing that you hear us when we pray. Father, we commit him into your hands now. With all these fine men of God, we just stand here together in all this congregation. And Lord, we believe today because we believe we are a spirit-controlled congregation, Lord, that believes in the power of prayer and that you still answer prayer in days like this. And as long as we live in these bodies, we'll need you and we're going to trust you and we're going to believe you, Lord, with all of our heart. Bless him, I pray. Bless his dear wife and Lord, all the family, I pray, I commit them into your hands now and ask for your blessing in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And how we thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we stand together and agree. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Brother Mike. We believe also. God bless you. Only believe in all things possible if we'll only believe. Glad you came to church today. Amen. It's good to be in His presence. It's good to be with God's people. Amen. Good to hear singing like this, because you don't hear this all the time. You don't hear this at home all the time. And you know, in your work, people at your work are probably not singing these songs, right? And it's just good to step outside of the pace of the world and say, I'm glad I serve God. I'm glad I can get into His presence. And it's just like a washing that goes on, a cleansing that goes on just from being here today. The world, you know, they're all excited over you know what. But I will tell you this. I was looking forward to coming today, and I'm glad I did. And I hope we'll go away thinking, oh, Lord, I want to be a part of that Spirit-controlled church. I just don't want to be in the church. I want to be in the Spirit-controlled church. Amen. How many can say amen?
Amen.
Thank you for the cross. Together. Lord, in just this moment of quietness before we leave this place, I just ask and pray in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit would stir deep within our hearts. And stir within us, Lord, because that's what you really desire to do, Lord, is to continue to reshape and remold us from the inside out. We believe, we understand, we are a work in progress. You're not finished with this yet. And because you have chosen us, you must see a value in us that the world may never recognize. We become, as your prophet said, mystical to this world. Oddballs, strange, because we're not led by natural forces to do natural things. We are led by the Spirit of God. I pray there, Father, that you would continue to move this church in the direction you would have us to move in. That, Lord, you would cause us to be in sync with you every day of our lives. And if there is anything that causes us to walk out of sync with you, Lord, we will truly repent of that and make that right. And I ask and pray that you would deal with every heart, young and old, so that we can be a true sanctuary for you, a temple of the living God. Have your way now, I pray. Lord, there are many that are sick, many that need your touch, even here in the building this morning. And so we're asking and praying in Jesus' name that the enemy would have to take his hands off of God's property, and he'd have to release them and let them go because they have been bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. And we believe that with all of our hearts. So Amazing Grace shall always be our song of praise. And we will sing it, Lord, until we leave here. Have your way, Lord Jesus, I pray. Have your way among us. Bless the balance of our day. And we'll give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed that you care. Sing it as you go this morning. May God bless you. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. Your precious blood I found pardon, and my sins are washed. They're all washed away. All my sins are washed. How alone I was feeling, and the emptiness I tried so hard to hide. And though I laughed and said my life was fine without you, I was covering up the secret tears I cried. And then one day someone told me of your mercy and the love you showed on a hill called Calvary. There you died and purchased. Hallelujah. When you broke sin's power and set my spirit free, I'm amazed how you love me. Oh, I'm amazed how you came. And through your precious blood I found pardon. Oh, and my sins are washed. They're all washed. All my sins are washed away. Oh, it's true, there have been days when I failed you. Lord, you know the many times I've gone astray. But I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness, and your ear is open every time I pray. No one else has ever cared for me like you, Lord. Other friends could never be this close to me. Oh, I'm not afraid to face the problem of tomorrow. Knowing you are everything I'll ever need, and I'm amazed how you love me. Yes, I'm amazed how you care. And through your precious I found pardon, and my sin.